Well, in a moment, we're going to bring in Robert Pendergraft. He is part of the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, and we'll be still chatting with Rick McCallum as well. Later on this hour, we'll take your phone calls as we talk about ghost hunting right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Rick McCallum with us and Robert Pendergraft. Let me tell you a little bit about Robert. Robert, of course, has been doing makeup effects and creature effects for film and television for more than 18 years. His shop, Aunt Dolly's Garage, is responsible for the Hatchet franchise, as well as the television show Holliston. Robert is one of those original members of the Hollywood Ghost Hunters. Hey, Robert, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good to have you back here. And then, of course, our dear friend Rick McCallum with us. Rick, how did the group get together?
Actually, it started, I've always been interested in ghost hunting, and I never realized that Kane was interested in ghost hunting. And we were doing a movie in Mansfield Prison, and we had gotten done, and we were way in the back. It was like 2, 3 in the morning, and no lights, just the moonlight coming in. And Kane says to me, he goes, "Hey, let's ghost hunt." And I didn't know he was going to do it, but I was, you know, instantly I said, "Yeah, let's do that." So we were going around there. And as we're walking along, I looked up and I saw what looked like a shadow figure in front of us, about 100 yards away, crossing in front of us. So I looked back over my shoulder to see if Kane saw it, and he was gone. And the first thing I thought was, "Oh, great, the big scary Jason guy, he ran away." What, right? And I hear the running, and I turn around and I look, and he's running full speed right towards it. And I went, "Oh, this has got to be the guy I start the group with. I mean, I've known him forever. He's one of my dearest friends." And that's when the Hollywood Ghost Hunters were formed, just in that one incident.
And Robert, in your case, how did you come into the picture?
I think I came in around, we're doing the movie Dark Wolves, and Kane was on that picture as well as Rick, and some people were talking about the studio that we're shooting in, which was Lacey Street, and they said some parts were haunted, and I think we ended up, the three of us ended up going and checking stuff out in there.
And you've looked at, the Omen House, which is where the Manson family killed Sharon Tate and several other people. You've looked at the Linda Vista Hospital. What do you find scary about these places, Robert?
They're not really scary to me. I mean, they're just, you know, they're buildings and okay. They have a lot of history to them. And, I mean, I guess the history of certain things can be intimidating to people if they're into being in a different place that's not contemporary or whatever, and or just a different surrounding. But for the most part, I'm not really intimidated by a lot of that stuff.
Now let's talk about the Omen House for just a bit. A lot of people claim that there could be some kind of weird portal at the top floor. You've been there. What do you think?
I definitely have seen some stuff. I've taken pictures in sequence going through the house with my camera, and in one certain spot you see like a picture that looks normal, then another spot it like went completely orange with, you know, weird kind of traces going through it, and then the next picture is completely normal again. And that was like in the spot where everyone was saying there was like a weird portal at. So it's kind of interesting.
And for you, Rick, when you have seen these different kinds of places, do you find them to be similar?
In the ghost hunting itself, yes, it is similar because you're going to use the same techniques and you get the same feeling and stuff. But, you know, every building tells a story. And, I mean, it's just like the Omen House. I mean, right next to where the Manson family killed five people. I mean, just the history of being there and knowing that, you know, the spirits of these people are possibly there. I mean, and any other building, it's all the new history and the story that goes with it that is so fascinating to me.
What causes these places either to be haunted or to have these kinds of spirit attachments? That's for you, Rick.
Well, you know, give you a story of Linda Vista Hospital. Supposedly one of the things that had happened there was one of the doctors was working on a guy who was a member of a gang, mm-hmm. and the gang told him in no uncertain terms, if he doesn't make it, you won't either. And the guy didn't make it, and they followed up what they promised. They, you know, from what I understand, they actually did in the doctor. So yes. I have a feeling that, you know, a lot of spirits are people, you know, that had passed quickly, so they aren't quite finished with what they needed to do here. And I also think in some cases that there are people who are just afraid to try to cross over.
Why would they be afraid?
Well, I mean, as you grow up, you always hear that there's the judgment and there's, you know, this and that. You don't get into heaven if you do this, or, you know, whatever religion it is, you know, a little bit of a scare factor to it.
What do you think of that, Robert? Do you think they are?
I don't know. I'm not qualified to give an opinion on an individual's preference either to go into the light or not. I mean, if it was me, I'd kind of like to hang around and mess around with it a little bit, you know.
Now, this house, is that house still there, or did they raise it?
Well, the original house, the one, David Ullman's house is right next to the original house. They did raise the house, and there's a new house been built over it. But it was at the time when they were raising the house that David Ullman was building his. And some people seem to think that if you disturb the spirits, that they may go to the next place that's available.
I always heard it was the land that was just as bad or possessed than the physical structure. What do you think?
I think that's probably true, because when you have hauntings and stuff of people from, you know, centuries ago, and the buildings have all changed.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a fascinating picture of a thing in England in a church, and they see where it looks like a procession of priests walking down the aisle, but they're all waist high in the ground. And somebody said, well, this is ridiculous. And somebody said, no, back, you know, when the clothes that they're wearing, the period that it would suggest, the floor was actually 3 feet lower. So to me, that was kind of compelling.
What do you think, Rick, the other side is? What is it?
Well, you know, I really hope there's an afterlife. I mean,
by now you would probably assume there is, right?
Well, I've seen some things, just to be honest with you, that pretty much tells me for sure that there is. So, you know, I'm not afraid about, you know, what's coming, you know, as I get older. Hopefully I'll pass the muster and get in. But I really believe that there is an afterlife. And, you know, I just hope that I'm right when I actually do go toes up.
Did you ever have any doubts?
Oh, yeah, sure. I think everybody does. I mean, I grew up Catholic. I went to Catholic schools for a little bit,
yep,
and stuff like
same
that.
Same with me.
And, you know, but I've been around, actually, my mom and dad both passed away, and I actually was, you know, helping take care of them. My mother I took care of all by myself for 4 months. But I saw a lot of things happen with both of them that tells me there's something else.
And, Robert, back to the Ullman House for just a second, then we'll move on to the Linda Vista Hospital. You took a picture on a stairwell, Tom was telling me. What'd you get?
I took a picture at the bottom from the basement looking up the stairwell and kind of, like, spiraled around to the different floors. And at the top of it, you can barely make out the image of what looks like a face coming down. And when I ran through Photoshop and just kind of, like, embossed it and messed with the basic tools in there,
yeah,
I brought the face out, and you can completely make out a human face.
And you know there's not some kind of defect on the digital print or anything like that?
No, because when I take a picture, I take multiple pictures of the same thing so I can compare them if I do see an anomaly on one of them. And then when we went back to Linda Vista again, I went back down there knowing that I found that on the camera and took a bunch of pictures from that angle and down there, all whatever I could, and didn't find anything on there.
What is it about the energy of a spirit that would let itself be captured on you know, digital video or film?
I don't know. I mean, it's like, you know, it's whether the spirit wants to be shot on it or something, or maybe you catch it by surprise and you just happen to have that freak instance where you have the camera in the right place and you click the button at the right time.
So it sounds like it's all energy, doesn't it?
It definitely sounds like that. Definitely when it comes to, like, something making your camera, like, you know, sap its energy, or, you know, you have no power left in your equipment, you know, so I can definitely say that, yeah, it's probably around that area.
And, Robert,
that happens a lot, too.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There's some kind of electromagnetic something out there that allows you to capture these. Which,
well, you have to be careful about that, too, though, when you're using the electromagnetic field things. there's a lot of different things that can make it go off, like microwave ovens. If you get too close to a computer or a Wi-Fi, that'll make it go off. That's one of the reasons we go through and we do a base reading to see if there is any of that kind of stuff around, so that later on when you get something actually reacting on the EMF detector, then you know something else has entered the area. Exactly what it would be, some people think it's spirit energy, you know, could be, you know, random bursts of, you know, the sun. But I mean, it's when you're actually asking it questions and it responds to the meter, that's when it's really interesting.
And Robert, moving on to the hospital, the Linda Vista Hospital, what happened there? What's so unusual about it?
We did some investigation there. I've been there a few times just on different locations from the movies that we've shot. And one of the particular times that we went with Hollywood Ghost Hunters, we heard a big thumping on the floor above us, and we went to every exit we could to get up to that floor above us, and everything was locked up, and we could not figure out how to get into this place.
Yeah, not just locked, padlocked. I mean, there was no way somebody could have gone out and just locked the door behind them.
How would that have happened?
Your guess is as good as mine at that point.
That's kind of what makes us go ghost hunting, George. That very question.
Have any of you been hurt on a ghost hunt?
I came very close down at the William Heath Davis house in San Diego. I was actually pushed from behind and almost went headfirst down the stairs.
Jeez, that could have killed you.
Well,
maybe,
yeah,
that's
actually,
the plan.
I'm only here because, just another quick story, Robert Pendergraft actually saved my life on a movie.
What happened?
We were at the place that Robert was talking earlier about, Lacey Studios, and we'd been ghost hunting and everything else through there, but I was playing the title character of this movie, Dark Wolf, which was a big werewolf that walked on all four legs, and my scene was to jump up and hit this industrial elevator, you know, the kind with the slide down doors. And I was supposed to hit it three times in a row, and I hit it the first two, and just as I was ready to go again, I heard somebody yell, "Stop!" And then I felt somebody grab me and yank me backwards. And I was like, "What are you doing?" Right? And you know, I looked up, you know, I pulled the mask back so I could see, and I had hit the elevator so hard that the safety door stuck to the elevator.
Oh, geez.
And when it went up, there was nothing in front of me, and we were up several stories. I mean, and I would have gone right, you know, jumped headfirst into the elevator shaft if Robert hadn't caught me.
Oh.
So anybody out there that just, you know, doesn't like me, blame Robert.
Oh, everybody likes you, Rick. Don't worry about that at all. So, Robert, of all the places you've been to, which one would you say might be the most haunted?
You know what? When we went to the Omen House and we had the spirit box there going, it's like we've been there a few times, and we get little things here and there, nothing really huge. But this one time when we had the spirit box there and we had most of the gang with us, we had a lot of activity going on there, to the point where we're all down in the basement, and at one point we hear footsteps running down the hall above us. And at that point, I went upstairs with the camera to check it out, and I'm like hearing the footsteps in front of me, and I'm like chasing it down with my camera. And then all of a sudden, I hear them running from behind me now. And so I'm like running back and forth this hallway trying to find these footsteps and everything that I'm like hearing right in front of me. And then finally, when it died down, I walked back downstairs, and right when I hit the landing on the floor, that's when the steps ran back again through the top of it. And at that point, everyone on the basement was like, "Robert!" And Rick ran up, and we both ran back upstairs again trying to find out what the anomaly was.
Robert, does something happen at any place you go?
Not every time. I mean, sometimes we get the obvious stuff, like at the Linda Vista Hospital with the banging on the walls, and, you know, but for the most part, a lot of the stuff is in the research when you're going back over the tapes and the audio on stuff, and that's when you'll find a lot of your stuff.
Rick, what do you think of these reality-based TV shows that always seem to have something happen on a ghost hunt?
Well, like Robert was saying, you know, we have nothing happen a lot more often than we do have something happen.
That's right.
And, I mean, the truth of the matter is they're TV shows.
And they need action.
Yeah. Now, we were, Kane, R.A. and I were on a TV show called Ghost Adventures. And one thing that we pride, you know, we hold dear is our integrity and our reputation. So Kane and I and R.A. watched the Ghost Adventure guys, I mean, very closely to make sure everything was on the up and up. And I can say, you know, everything that we saw was exactly what was going on. So I would vouch for Ghost Adventures. But I've seen other shows on there that I couldn't make the same claim.
Of all the places, Robert, that you've been to with the Ghost Hunters, which one would you say may be the best for what you guys do?
Definitely the Linda Vista Hospital, just because it's a huge floor plan. You can have a lot of range to run around and check things out, and a lot of different spots that people say are haunted that you can check out. And every time we've gone there, we've come back with something.
Well, that's pretty good to be able to do that. Now, EVPs, you've gotten some there, haven't you?
Yes. We at one point when we were there, we were hunting. They were telling us that the women's bathroom was haunted. That a lot of the women that were on the production sets were kind of leery about going to this bathroom because they had a lot of uneasy feelings in there.
Yeah.
We went in there, three guys hanging out in the women's bathroom.
That's nice.
we had our cameras, we had our EVP, our low recorders and everything, and we were, you know, trying to talk and trying to get some communication going there, and we weren't getting anything. And when the night was over, took it home, started listening to it on my headphones, and we started hearing stuff that was going on in the form of, like, static. It was like a pulsing static of, like...
Which you did like not that. Hear when you went there.
No, and we have actual footage from the camera that, you know, play alongside it, too. So it's like, you know, none of that stuff was in there. So as the questions got more and more intense that were being asked, you'd start hearing the pulsing go more consecutively and a lot faster, like, until finally when they got to a point where one of my friends was kind of getting a little bit aggressive with the questioning, and then you start hearing, and you can hear him talking over it, too, a little bit in the background. And so I started researching and debunking it, and I was just, my friend that had the recorder, I'm like, hey, let me, you know, after I downloaded all the audio, I asked my friend to borrow his phone from him, so I put the recorder on his phone and let it record for like an hour and just listen to see if I can find anything that was like that. And then I went and I taped the recorder to the fuse box outside for an hour and let it record just to see and kind of just test the recorder to see what the limits were on that so I can replicate the sound. Couldn't get that, put it into a room where there's complete silence and had no problems with it whatsoever. So I ended up having to call Sony, the people who made the recorder, and I started asking them all these questions about it. I'm like, hey, you know, for one, I had to explain what it was that we were trying to do, and they just kind of like, huh? But at the same time, I'm like, I'm just really trying to test and see what the limits are on this and if this is an anomaly that your recorder has ever had, that you ever heard of. And they pretty much said, no, we've never had this. And if you did, if there was a static problem or you had a lot of noise happening at one time, you could replicate that sound, but you would never hear a voice behind it or anything. It would be a loud static. So after that, I'm like, I think we kind of have something here.
That's the way to do it. We're going to come back in a moment and take some phone calls right here on Coast to Coast with the Ghost Hunters. So don't touch your dial. We will be right back. Rick McCallum from the Hollywood Ghost Hunters will take your phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Rick McCallum with us from the Hollywood Ghost Hunters. Their websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. You know what's great about this, Rick? You guys have fun doing what you do.
Oh, absolutely. If it wasn't fun, there's really not much sense in doing it. If you're with Robert and Kane and R.A., you're going to have fun. It's just that way. I mean, one thing people don't realize about Robert is Robert's like 6'6" and about 300 pounds. And, you know, R.A.'s 6'5" and 320 pounds. I mean, I'm 6'4", 250, and I feel like a midget walking around with all these guys.
Did you guys play professional sports?
R.A. was actually a professional wrestler for a little bit. But professional sports, no. None of us actually played professional sports.
Yeah, R.A.'s been getting to St. Louis lately.
Has he?
Yeah, he sure has.
You got to hook up with him. He is a fun dude. He really is.
He's a good guy. Good guy. Okay, let's go to the phones. They're all lining up here for you. Not that much time left. Joe in Isla Vista, California, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I just want to know, what is the scariest place in Hollywood? Because I lived in Hollywood, and I know some very scary, I can tell you scary stories, but what is your scariest place?
I really believe that the most haunted place that I've been to in Hollywood is the Omen House. We've had quite a few things happen there. If you go to our website, HollywoodGhostHunters.com, and look on evidence and look at Hallway 1 and Hallway 2, they're a couple months apart, I guarantee you look and you go, what? What was that? I mean, it's just a very strange place. Things happen there all the time. I would pick the Omen House as far as the ones that we've been to. There are others out here. The Soudan House is one I really want to get to. That's where they think the doctor murdered the Black Dahlia. And there's another one that, I mean, is like the Holy Grail. I don't know if anybody's ever really gotten there. It would be Wonderland, where the people were killed, where John Holmes was involved. It's what they wrote the movie Boogie Nights about. Those would be the ones that I'd say would be the top three.
Jeez. There's something about the energy of these spirits that hang around during tragic deaths. I can't figure it out.
Well, I think, really, they have unfinished business. I mean, people are energy, and according to physics, energy doesn't die. So, you know, if your energy can hang around, I mean, I think that's probably what it is.
Maybe they don't even know they're dead, Rick.
Well, that's one of the things I really think, because I think the people who die suddenly don't realize, and they're just lost. And it actually kind of breaks my heart when I run across something, you know, where I think it's a lost soul.
That's sad. You know, but you know what? The saddest and the creepiest are the little children spirits.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that. There's a lot of people that believe, and I've had actually something, but a lot of people really believe that the little children can actually be something demonic trying to lure you in.
A trick.
Yeah, that they will use a child's voice and things like that because, you know, people instantly go to protect a child.
Have you heard of the black-eyed children phenomenon?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that's terrifying.
That's the scary part of all of this.
Yeah, I mean, and they knock on your door. Can we come in? I mean, no.
All black eyes. Please, yeah. We're hungry. Let us in.
Yeah, no. This is here's $10. Go to McDonald's. $10.
Go to Rick McCallum's house. Get away from me.
Yeah, no. You go over see Tom.
Let's go to Ronald in Goldsboro, North Carolina, east of the Rockies. Hey, Ronald, go ahead.
Lori,
hello.
I respect how you conduct yourself.
Well, thank you.
And Mr. Rick, I have witnessed I was locking up my door at my house, and I was pulled by my back collar just very forcefully, and I looked around, and there was nothing.
Oh.
But I can also say I've seen what I would say is demonic, and hopefully the other things I was seeing were angel-like. I've seen both of those things in more than one place.
Well, that sounds like that maybe the spirits are attracted to you. It sounds to me like you might have something that's not very nice by you, by the way it pulled you by the coat. And if you're actually seeing other lighter beings, maybe they're there to, you know, keep an eye out for you.
Yes.
I mean, one of the things that always confounds me is if you ask somebody, do you believe in angels? Everybody will say yes. And you say, well, you believe in demons. They go, well, no. And say, well, you realize it's the same story.
And it is. You've got to have that kind of balance, sadly enough, tragically.
It's the same story.
Hey, thanks for the call, Ronald. Appreciate it. First-time caller, Jan, truck driving in Louisiana. Hi, Jan. Go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
George, it's great because I had another trucker friend turn me on to the show.
Now, that's a friend.
It really is, and God bless him for that because it's so interesting, and you guys always have awesome subjects. But I guess the question for the guys tonight is, because I'm huge into everything supernatural, and I know what I've seen, I know what I've experienced, and I know hunting is something I would like to do. But what I wondered is what you guys do to prepare yourselves, I guess, spiritually.
Good question.
To make sure that nothing attaches to you that might be evil, and you carry it home and become a completely different person than what you normally are.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who really believe that can happen, and I happen to be one of them. Generally, in our group, we have Lewis is Jewish, Richard Friedman is Jewish, I'm Catholic, you know, Cain is, you know, his religion. Everybody has a different religion, but I think it all goes back to just having a good, solid base when it comes to religion that will help protect you. What I will do, and I suggest this to anybody that's ghost hunting, I actually did this on a TV show called Home and Family, where the girl that was ghost hunting with us, we were getting EMF spikes that were reacting to what we were asking. And she goes, "Oh, I love you. Will you come home with me?" And I was like, "Oh, hold up a second. You know, you can't do that." And I actually asked, you know, to the, you know, the spirit that might have been there, and I said, "All right, you cannot come home with Debbie. Do you understand that?" And it went all five lights, and she's like, "Oh my goodness, I love you." That's right. But what I actually do when I leave a place, I tell it in no uncertain terms, "You are not allowed to follow me." And
does it work all the time?
So far, it has. And most of the ghost hunters will do that. They will say, "You're not allowed to follow me." Some will use religious bent to it, you know, call on higher powers, whatever religion they have, or angels. I mean, they'll do that. But I just find that telling them straight out, "You cannot follow me," that nothing has followed me yet. So I hope that's strong enough and a good answer for you.
What do you think of some of the fables that say, "Use sage, sprinkle it around, that'll stop it"?
You know, I may be the only person in the world that's in ghost hunting that doesn't believe that works. I mean, what is it about a spirit that would be energy that a fragrance would stop them?
Yeah.
I mean, a fascinating story.
Or salt, things like that.
You know Christina Ferrari, the actress?
Yeah.
When I was on the Home and Family show, we were talking about ghosts, and she relayed her story. And she said that her husband and her would see a man in their bedroom at night. And finally, they got so scared, they went out and they had a priest come in and put holy water above the bedroom door.
My gosh.
And she said, "We didn't see him anymore, but my husband actually said that she saw him looking in from outside in the window," which to me tells me that perhaps the holy water worked.
Well, I'm not sure about that. That's even scarier than I think lurching around your bedroom. I mean, the voyeur ghost, you know?
Dirty scoundrel.
Jane in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hey, Jane, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi, Jane.
I just wanted to say, at Good Springs at the Pioneer Saloon, that me and about seven friends went out there, and we all ordered a round of drinks, and then when it came for the second round, one guy didn't order, and something hit him in the back of the head and said, "Order," and he turned white and cold, and we were like, "Let's get out of here." And then we decided...
There's something going on in that Pioneer Saloon.
I wanted to be the one who didn't order, and it didn't happen to me, but it happened to the guy sitting next to me, turned white and cold, and we're like, "Let's get out of here," and we never went back.
We've got a link up on that saloon at coasttocoastam.com. It is weird, isn't it?
Yeah, that place has a great deal of activity, and Jill, the girl that had invited me there, that's the, you know, runs the ghost hunting part there. She had told me after that happened, she goes, well, it happened to one other guy too. And I don't know if she's referring to the man that might have been with Jane there, or if maybe that's just another one. And it seems like if that's the case, the ones that are getting hit like that are men.
Huh. Wonder why they single them out like that.
I really don't know.
We go next to John in Connecticut. Hi, John. You're up with us. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning.
Hey. Hi.
I was just wondering, if you think of like a place like Amityville or any of these places that are really haunted, if you knock the dwelling down, do the spirits eventually leave, or do they continue to hang on?
See, that's what we were talking about earlier, John, whether the spirits are really part of the land, not just the physical structure of the building, but they attach themselves to the land. I would think they would do that, Rick, don't you?
Yeah, one thing that's real common occurrence in ghost hunting is like some of these older buildings. Like, I'll give you, for instance, there's a place up in Deadwood, South Dakota. I can't remember the name of the hotel, but a man bought it. It had been closed for quite a while, and when he started rehabbing it, the ghost activity just spiked up like crazy. So I think some of them are very possessive of where they are, but I think it's also it's the area where they're at. I don't think it's the building. I think it's right where they're at, the land. You know, I think that's more, you know, that's where they're going to be. I don't know if they can leave. I imagine they can, because I do know of people who have brought things back home with them, like the other guest, caller in asked.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure that they can move around, but I'm pretty sure the ones that either don't want to cross over or don't really know they've gone yet will stay in the same place even if you take the whole building away.
Have you ever seen a person possessed, Rick?
Yes, I have.
What do you think causes that?
Boy, I don't know, but it was one of the creepiest things I've ever seen in my life. And it was a girl, a real sweet girl, and I was talking to her, and all of a sudden I would, you know, tell her a joke, and the laughter was just way over the top, and
everything was funny.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah. But her reaction was, you know, to the tens, and frankly, I'm not that funny. So, it was kind of a little strange. But later on, I heard that the girl that was upstairs with her walked into the hotel room and heard her screaming in the bathroom, and that she was yelling, "Get him away from me! Get him away from me!" So she helped her out, and the other girl went downstairs, the girl that had been acting funny. And she called back up there and told her, she goes, "You better get out of there or he's going to get you too." After that she called the police on herself, the girl, and they took her to a hospital. And she actually attacked one of the nurses, and they said, that her whole persona had changed. So, I mean, just the persona changing, you know, the physical violence, somebody yelling, "Keep him away from me, and he's going to get you too." You know, that just leads me to think that that might be, you know, something more than just, you know, ghost.
Let's go to Justin, Greenville, Ohio. Welcome to the show, Justin. Good morning.
Good morning. I told the guy that answered the phone that I've called in the past and been on the show in the past.
All right.
I appreciate you guys taking my call this time.
Perfect.
In the past, I had a premonition dream of my mother passing away, and I called and asked you guys about that. And shortly after she passed away. A few months later, I had hauntings, and I captured it on tape. And sadly, I lost the tape. But like, when you have people and you tell people your stories, they don't believe you. They want things to be debunked. I was wondering, Rick, what steps do you take to try to debunk your hauntings that you discovered? Do you have like a certain method?
Well, it depends on what happens, actually.
Well, you don't try to debunk, Rick.
Oh, yeah, we absolutely do.
Do you go into a ghost hunt thinking it's not real?
No, absolutely
not.
That's
what I mean.
With an open mind and stuff like that.
Okay.
But what we actually do is when you start to get something that looks like it might be something, evidence of something, you have to try and figure out everything that it could possibly be. And when you can eliminate the things that it could possibly be and you're left with something else, then you may have a paranormal occurrence.
True.
You know, but you do have to go through the steps saying, like...
But you go in with an open mind.
Yeah. I mean, if you see shadows on the wall, I mean, I've had that happen before. You go back and you'd go across the same place over and over and over again to see if you can recreate the same shadow. I mean, you want to, you know, make sure that what you're seeing is something that may be paranormal. So you take those steps.
Thank you, Justin. Let's go to Shara in Sacramento. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi. George, first I want to apologize. I have not had a chance to send you the email about the ITP info. My tablet broke.
Ah, okay. I thought maybe I lost it. Okay, good.
No, I'm going to get that off. I just got it replaced. Today I got the first positive platelet count I've had in 6 years.
Good.
So whatever I'm doing is working. So,
good.
But I
Keep
will get
it
off yours very soon. So thank you for taking my call. I have had experiences all my life with... supernatural, ghosts, sleep paralysis. The area that I'm staying in Sacramento and had lived in previously, this area had notoriously moved Indian remains around to provide land for development. And one house I lived in was so haunted, it was just unbelievable. And that's when the sleep paralysis was the worst. I'm hoping he'll do a show on sleep paralysis soon. I was wondering if your guests had had any experiences with people dealing with that, and if they consider those entities specifically ghosts or not. And also, if I can make one more quick comment, I'm cracking up because you're talking about you've got the Jew and the Catholic working on this. When I lived in my apartment in North Hollywood, my neighbors knocked on the door one day, and they said, hey, one of them is Jewish, one's Catholic. They said, we've got the Jew, we've got the Catholic, we need whatever the hell you are. Grab a smudge stick and help us come cleanse the building or the apartment of this witch that had moved out who would just drove all the neighbors nuts. It was really messed up.
And make it happen. We, unfortunately, Rick, are out of time for that comment about paralysis, but we'll get you back on another time. Rick McCallum from the Hollywood Ghost Hunters up next. Seth Shostak joins us from the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. Lots going on. Scientists are beginning to hear all kinds of weird signals.